Good to have Pastor Roach in the service with us. He's back in the state for a couple of months, and I certainly love you and I appreciate you. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And First Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, just one verse. I will only preach for 1 hour tonight, I promise. Verse number 2, let me give this verse to our graduates. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for our graduates. And Lord, I do pray your blessing upon their life. Lord, I pray they would love you and serve you and serve you because they love you. Lord, allow them to use the knowledge you have given them to glorify and honor you, whether that's the high school or the Bible college. Lord, may they seek you with all of their heart. Lord, help me be a help tonight to them as well as our entire church. Lord, to draw us closer to you. And Lord, even in this service, if there's someone that's not saved, Lord, I certainly do pray that even this evening they would repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. May you be glorified and honored. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Now, for our high schoolers, for those graduating college, it's even longer. I got some stats for you. You have spent approximately, because it's homeschooling, it's off here, but approximately an hour's working, 12,960 hours to finish a high school diploma. Or homeschoolers, that's how many hours you spend in your pajamas in the morning. That translates to 7,777 minutes, all to prepare you. 216 months, 936 weeks, 6,552 days, 15,248 hours. You slept 52,000 hours. And you spent 7,488 hours eating pizza. All right? Now, the graduation is a big thing. Now, the majority of our church here is homeschoolers. A lot of homeschool families are here, and some that have their children in Christian schools to public school, I think, maybe one or two, I'm not sure. But the bulk of our church is homeschools. We have the homeschool chapel and all the events that takes place, and that's quite the undertaking as parents to embrace that. You decide, listen, I am going to give the education needed to my children. There certainly is a level of discipline and determination to be able to do that. I had never considered homeschooling before we came to this church. And I always thought just Christian school. We come here in 1995. We had no kids school age yet. We only had three children. Rachel was a baby. She was one when we arrived here. Heather and Daniel and Heather are 3 and 2 years old. And the bulk of the church homeschooled. And we pretty much knew right away, this is one of the reasons the Lord had us here. We homeschooled our kids throughout. But I appreciate the effort that the parents put in. And so just by way of being a little bit humorous, I have a few slides for our homeschool teachers, our moms who teach their kids. Let's go ahead and start off with the first one, Josiah, when you're ready. I think I just have 7 of these or 8 of these is about it. But just something to make you laugh a little bit. Homeschool day 1, wondering how I can get this kid transferred out of my class. That doesn't quite work out. Number 2. With our kids, haven't we? But graduating high school or of course, especially Bible college, both of these, that certainly is a major accomplishment, something you all should be proud of with yourself within a right meaning I have of that. For high school, it's a big deal. You're actually moved literally from being treated like a child legally to being counted as an adult in society. You now become responsible for much of your actions. You're going to find out even when you get to college. Those heading off to college, we're going off to Bible college or whatnot. All of a sudden, really, that school can't even discuss your grades with your parents without your permission. You're treated as an adult. Again, for our college graduates, you know, you made the decision at least 4 years ago, if not longer, that you wanted to grow in God's knowledge of Word, maybe to use for full-time service one day. You're to be stewards of what God has given you, to use this knowledge for both areas, not to puff up, but to use it to honestly glorify God. It's not about the next Facebook post. It's not about the next social media thing saying, look at this, but coming honestly before the Lord and saying, Lord, here am I, use me. Again, for both our groups, our high school and our college graduates, it's being responsible with the knowledge that God has given you. Now that your studies are over, what I want to do today is look at some different S's based on 1 Corinthians 4:2 should be true in your life. Now that the studies are over, let me encourage you on three things here: to be serious, to be steadfast, and to be surrendered. Now, the first one is primarily directed to our high school graduates, as well as our teenagers. Soon, you're going to be on your own. It happens very quickly. There's excitement with that. I was embracing it. I remember when I graduated, I was embracing that, the idea of being on my own. But I want you to think about this. Those of you who grew up in Christian homes, I did not. You know, our graduates here have grown up in Christian homes. Therefore, you have had a support system in place, to be honest, that dictated part of your spirituality. It wasn't your choice whether you went to church or not. That was up to somebody else in the house. That was probably true with devotions and whatnot in different areas of your spiritual life. There was a support system that was in place. But now, it needs to walk on its own. You have to make it real. Mom and dad are not going to be there. And a lot of times that gives us a sense of freedom. And with that freedom, there's much that all of a sudden becomes revealed. What's revealed immediately is this: whether your faith was your parents' faith or your faith. Because that day comes. The transition happens. Where all of a sudden, mom and dad is not there, and it's you getting up on Sunday morning deciding, okay, what am I going to do? It is so important that when it comes to your faith in God, that it's not based upon mom and dad, but it's based upon your desire. A transition needs to take place when God becomes your God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, where it talks about no one consider the Lord. He is God. There is none else. There is none besides God. He is what life truly is all about. If you decide I want to quit, I got news for you. There is none else. Whatever it is you attempt apart from God will end in vanity. I don't care if it lasts 30 years, 40 years, 5 years, 2 years. It'll end in vanity. It just doesn't matter in the end. We've just completed the book of Ecclesiastes. It's seen over and over a man who was put in a tremendous position to try and find meaning, to try and dive into this world apart from God. His conclusion was just all vanity. Just all vanity. See, many times, especially now, the devil likes to come at you when you're at different crossroads. In graduating high school, you come up on a crossroad in your life. It's a prime time that the devil likes to attack. Sometimes you can be halted between two opinions. Kind of like when Elijah, there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Matter of fact, I want to read that verse. I can't quote it right now. It's escaping me. How long halt you between two opinions? He said this. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. This is when he's coming up. He's challenging Ahab and the gods of Baal. And he couldn't believe how much those of Israel were bowing down to it. He makes a great point, though. If this is true, if God be God, then serve him. Don't halt between two opinions. Don't stay in that stage of trying to decide, because usually that's just a matter of your flesh and trying to decide if you're going to feed that. Listen, that road is not the road you want to go down. It's not going to end the way you think. It's not. Has Solomon encouraged us. You give your youth and your strength to God. That you will never regret. So that transition is needed where you take that faith serious. Because, again, soon you're on your own. The decision is now yours. Remember that admonition we looked at in Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Again, you've heard me talk about it before, but I remember being a teenager in my youth group and taking it very serious, but realizing, man, there's so many here that just want out. That the reason why they come, it's you know, there was, you never saw a genuine desire for God. It was about the friends. The next youth activity. Oh, they wanted to be there for it, but it was because about the friends. It wasn't about anything with God. And I remember thinking, I remember my junior, senior, and just thinking, man, I don't think any of them are going to be here when we graduate. I think they're all gone. That's pretty much exactly what took place. Listen, now is the time to take it serious. Now is the time to settle it. Now when you have your youth and your strength, give it unto the Lord. Take it serious. And now secondly, be steadfast. Read a couple of verses here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse that was already mentioned here this evening, the verse that represents our Bible college. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, notice where he goes next immediately. The but comes into play. He says, all right, this is where I want your attention. He says, but shun, stay away from, turn from profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Look what he says in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Listen, be steadfast with this faith. As I've already mentioned, the devil will come and put things in your life, especially right now at this crossroads, to try and steal your focus from the things of God and from the kingdom of God. Once you determine to be serious, you've got to be steadfast. The Christian life is one that's lived every day, moment by moment. The devil will purposely put things in your life to steal your focus. That's what Paul is driving at here with Timothy. This is where your mind is to say, but look out. There's things going to come up from different directions. Just simply there to try and steal your focus from where it should be. The devil's a master at getting you to take your focus off God on things that aren't necessarily sin. As we saw in verse 22, he'll certainly use sin. We have a sin nature. We're prone to it. He'll use that all day long. But he doesn't have to use sin. He can use a lot of different things to steal your focus off of God. He can use your career. He can use a relationship. It doesn't have to be bad things. I mean, he can use your career. Listen, having a career is not a bad thing. But you never make your life about a career. You make it about God. Of saying, Lord, here am I, send me. You allow him to direct your life. Or, Lord, here am I, use me. If he directs in that way, so be it. But you always make it about the Lord. Be careful of those things that will steal your focus. It doesn't have to be, again, always the sinful things. It can be career, as I said, a relationship. It can be a hobby. It can be those things that we enjoy. The things that, even the things that God wants us to enjoy. But if he sees he can get a grip on your heart with it, to allow that to steal your focus, he'll take that opportunity. Stay focused. We all need good relationships in our life. But don't let a relationship take the place of the Lord and cause you to lose focus. Again, don't forget the devil is great at not only using sin, but using things that are not wrong of themselves, especially to capture Christian children who grew up in those homes, just simply to steal your focus. Stay steadfast with your faith. Don't quit. Every morning, beg God to keep you focused and serving him. Because I assure you, when you get up tomorrow morning, the devil has something ready to steal your focus that day from God. He's going to try and hit it early, too. In order to be steadfast, listen to me. Don't let, I'm going to put this in quotes, the show steal your steadfastness. That can steal your focus on what you live for. Don't live for the show of it all. Live for the Lord. Live for the Savior. We live in a danger in our day with the social media of living for the show. Of living for the attention that that brings. It has changed motivations. Live for the Savior, not the show. Parents, teach your kids now. It's not about the show. Let me give an example to our parents right now, even though this is a graduation here. And it's not that I don't see it, but this is something to teach your children. I don't have any child in mind. But we have our children that come forward during the invitation. I like that. I think they should come forward and pray. But parents, watch them. Don't let it be about the show to them. Don't let it be about the attention to come forward. If they're coming forward and they're just looking around, you tell them, don't do that. It's not about the show. It's not about just going up. It's about going up and talking to God. Don't teach them already. It's about the show. Does that make sense? In order to be steadfast, listen, are those graduating Bible college are aware, well aware of this. Those graduating high school, you're getting ready to learn this. You are accountable for your own decisions. You are. You have to make wise choices. In order to be steadfast, you're going to have to make wise choices. You're going to need wisdom from God. Praying and seeking what He would have for you. Begging for His wisdom. The next couple of years in your life are full of choices, really for both groups. Those who graduated Bible college and those who graduated high school. About what does the Lord have? These are major decisions. The Lord doesn't try and hide His will from your life. He's never done that. There's no truth in that. Granted, He's not going to call you up with a phone call, but all you have to do is stay yielded and say, Lord, please direct. He'll protect you from yourself. I was getting ready to head off to a Bible college that I completely disagree with today, and I am so glad the Lord protected me from it. I was 2 or 3 weeks away from leaving, and we're all done, excited. The Lord protected me from myself. He knew this is not where you need to be. You're going to need wisdom. You have to say surrender to the Lord. And lastly, I'll finish with this. Now that your studies are over, be serious, be steadfast, be submitted to the Lord. Be yielded to God. Don't put limitations on God's will for your life. This is for both high school and college graduates. Don't put limits. You know, high school, you're coming out, you think, okay, well, sometimes we when Christianity is our culture, we have God in His location in our life. That this is God's area of my life. Boy, don't get into that trap. Make your life about God. Lord, whatever you want, use me. Don't put limitations on it. Well, Lord, I'll serve you. It's like we put an invisible line. Lord, I'll serve you up to this point. From this area over, I'm going to stay faithful. No, just remove those lines. Just trust God. He knows exactly who you are. He knows what He needs to put in your life. Listen, had I begun to do that, I never would have went to New Guinea. Pastor Roach is here. He would tell you, I am the last person that should be in New Guinea. That's the truth, isn't it? I am. I admit that. I wasn't looking for the adventure. I didn't want to. It wasn't like, man, I can't wait to get to New Guinea. That wasn't it. My wife will tell you that. I got there. Remember, I was there on a survey. Second survey trip right before we moved there. I called you up from New Guinea. Thinking, what am I doing? My stomach was sick. I'm going to throw up. I'm like, I can't believe I'm moving here. And you better believe I had thoughts putting the line in. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I can't bring my family here. But you know what? I had to remember, the Lord knows me better than me. I got to trust Him. Trust Him. So I'll finish with some verses that we can all quote. Proverbs chapter 3. For all of our graduates, boy, please allow these verses to guide your life every single day. I would imagine probably 90% of us in here could quote every word of these. I like to look at them in my Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's very true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. To our graduates, I appreciate all of you. I'm thrilled. Matter of fact, the Conleys will be leaving here in just a couple of months. And brother, I'm going to miss you. I appreciate it much the Lord brought them in. I was pastor here just a couple of months. I still remember the first service coming in missions conference. Snowing outside. Into September, we got 4 or 5 inches of snow that night. And just amazing to see as they completed it. God brought them here, trained them up, and He's moving them on. That's exactly how that works. But I appreciate you all. I'll have a word of prayer and then I'll turn the service over to Sean. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your graduates. I do pray your blessing upon their life, Lord. I pray and ask this.